It's a hard gospel to get a handle on. In reality, Jesus, it's amazing how often he counsels us on, if you will, financial advice and how to get ahead in the world, the very things that human beings like the most. But he's, of course, he's talking about spiritual wealth and how to get ahead in heaven. He doesn't talk about taking the lowest place in heaven, but striving for the highest place, the highest to which we are called as our individual place in heaven. And that requires a response from us here. So it's helpful to listen to what God, the creator of the world, has to say, but we have to kind of translate it down to our own level. When I was new in the seminary, I'm sure they still have this now, but they had house jobs, and some of them were really awful and some were really good. So I'm sure the system has changed now, but the way it was when I first got there, if you can believe it, is first one in line got the best job. So naturally, like an Apple iPhone or something, people would line up all night. I got there quite early because some of the jobs were really gruesome, you know. And I can't remember the bad ones, but I found out what a good one was, and I got it, you know. The one that I would get there, I strove for the highest place. That's the point of the story. And for my efforts, I picked up something that most people didn't realize how good the job was. What it was you get up, anybody knows me won't believe this, you get up at 6 a.m. and unlock all the doors in Anselm, which then was the best place, now it isn't. And then at 6 p.m., you'd lock all the doors. Well, now they're push buttons and stuff. Doesn't that sound wonderful, that job? Why would I pick that first? Well, there were two of us, so we only did it every other month. And secondly, what I found out was Jerry, the guy that used to work there, would unlock it in the morning, so that was off. And he'd lock it in the evening. Easy peasy, right? So every so often I had to lock it in the evening, but I never had to get up at 6 a.m. I'd never bid a job like that if I had to actually do it. So I wouldn't get there first, but I didn't have to because nobody else would pick it because nobody else knew that but me. But I got there early enough to get this job. But putting myself above everyone else, and if there had been an easier job, I'd have wanted to be there first to get it. And aren't we all the same? You know, you go to work, and we want that best job, and we bid for that. Or we, in the airline industry, I would have shift bids, and I'd try to bid for the best shifts and stuff like that, not the 4 to midnight one that I worked for a couple years. And whatever it is, we want the best. We want the best seat in the church, you know, that kind of thing. Well, one day, they went to a lottery system later, but before they did this, I forgot the day. And I got there last. Dead last. And I looked in fear to see what was left on that list. Washing the rector's car once a week. Awful. Can you think of anything worse than, especially in the winter, washing the rector's car? I mean, if I made an error, it'd be a formation issue, you know, if I left a piece of dirt on the wind. I thought, oh, brother, it's going to be a long, 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 long semester or year. I can't remember if we did this twice a year. So I can't tell you how bad that job would have been. So first week, I called the rector, and he wasn't there that week. Second week, he whenever I was free, he wasn't. So, and this went on week after week, you know. I'd offer myself, and I could never get to do this thing. And so finally, halfway through the semester, he says to me, aren't you the one that's supposed to be washing my car? And I said, yes. But he said, I don't need my car washed, so I don't know why they put that on there. He threw me the keys, and he said, here's $10. Go to the Silverton car wash and run it through the... That was it. That's all I did that year. And I said, you know, sometimes being last pays off really well. They only offered that once. I would have bid that that's another one nobody would have bid because I didn't tell a soul how good that was. I'm not a climber. I don't want to be a bishop, obviously. But nobody wants that job anymore. But I'm trying to get a lower place. I'm already higher than I want to be right now. But, you know, sometimes God blesses that moment. It was a moment of truth, that to have something taken away from us by accident or on purpose is really, in the long run, the best thing that can happen to us. It is not easy to lose your job, to miss out on some investment, to not get promoted. God knows, I once came in for an interview. This supervisor's birthday is today. Believe it or not, we're still Facebook friends after 30 years. I came in covered with mud because my car got stuck in a ditch on the day of the interview. I came in coated with mud. Guess what? Didn't get the job. But I applied the next time with that same supervisor, and I got the job. But that experience of being forced by circumstances, and I told God I don't appreciate all that mud because I really wanted that job. But I think there's two ways of going to the lowest place to serve others. And one is voluntary and one's involuntary. The involuntary ones tell us where our heart really is. The voluntary ones also do, but there are many positions around here. And as pastor, I've had the keys thrown at me more than once, not because I did something wrong, but because somebody's had it with some group. Because somebody is bossy or whatever, and their opinion wasn't valued and blah, 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 and I'm quitting. And I think really, oftentimes, we find out who we really are when our opinion is overlooked, right? Or we're ignored, or our contributions are not acknowledged. And then we find out we really didn't want, we said we wanted the lowest place, but we sure want that recognition. And sometimes God will deliberately withhold it from us to test our hearts. He doesn't need to know what it is, but we do. We need to know where we're really at in the spiritual life so we can grow. We make this mistake of thinking we're on, I bring this up over and over, we're not on a pleasure cruise here. That's heaven. We're here to grow and to learn. The minute we get out of one pickle, there's another one coming. You may be able to buy your way out of a lot of it, but we can't escape suffering and trials and setbacks because that's what we're here for. If we manage to escape the whole thing, we've missed out on all of life. Look at Jesus. Let's test the just man. Let's put him to a shameful death. Well, most of us aren't going to have to go through this, but he will ask us at times to die to ourselves, our families, suddenly we're having the silent treatment in the family. Many of you have shared that with me. I've had it happen. Both of those sisters that died, we had our moments of silent treatments between us. It happens to the best families. And, you know, suddenly we have to get back into being a servant so that we can heal those relationships. I don't have to be first. My opinion doesn't have to be right. Of course, I was always right, but you know how it is. But I don't have to tell everyone. Can I, in a conversation, let somebody else win, you know, in an argument, even though they're wrong? I mean, this is what being a servant is. And Christ encourages this because this is going to be first place. We are here for a moment, and eternity is forever. We're going to be so sorry that we were pushing the wrong agenda here because, man, you know, it's going to be so different where we're going. And we can't say we weren't warned, right? So I always conceive of life in an airplane. I guess I'm stuck with this image for the rest of my life. But I always imagine, I've done a lot of these trips over the years, that I'm condemned, unfortunately. Every time I could, I flew first class. You know, it was $5. I'm not saying I was rich, but ever since then, I resent being in the sardine can in the back row, you know. And to add insult to injury, somebody always reclines fully the minute the plane takes off, you know, that kind of thing. But you walk past the first class seats. They're already in them. They got invited on first. They've got their drinks there. They're already being served hand and foot. Then you go to business class. Man, those seats look wide. There's lots of leg room. Then we get coach, right? The back of the plane, that's the worst. The last row is the worst because the bathroom queue queues up. I'm not going to go into what else, you know. But guess what? When that plane pulls in and it lands and they begin to deplane, there's a little emergency door in the back there. You may not notice that, but occasionally airlines will open that and put the ladder down. Those people are going to get off first. And not only are they going to get off first class, the people worked so hard to get up to, is last place. And the ones coming in first are going to be showered with honors and glory. They're going to get mansions with views. And the people in the back are going to think, if these people are getting this, what am I going to get? Well, sorry, we're about out of it. This is all you sent up, you know? It turns out the place on the plane, this is a metaphor, of course, has a lot to do with what's going to happen at the end. A lot of people think that what the conveyance we're on has no destination, but they are dead wrong. It's going to land, and we're not going to be annihilated. We're going to get off into the real world of the future, which is all around us. They're here right now, but they won't reveal themselves. They want us to choose them in faith in the brief moment we have and to do the countercultural thing, the thing that isn't, even with ourselves, we have a hard time, I do too, grasping the need to serve and not be served, to give to others without always expecting in kind. And this sort of thing, hypothetically, it moves us closer to the back of the plane, but ironically, to the first in the place that lasts forever. And so only a fool would work for a seat that lasts for 11 hours, right, on these long flights. But when it does end, we won't wish we were in first class. We will wish we had served others, and that in that is all the glory. And if you're lucky, you may even end up washing the rector's car.